message number TL304. Otis Q. Sellers, Bible teacher. I greet you in the faith and in the fellowship of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are, whom we love, and whom we serve. We continue our studies in the prophecy of Jeremiah. Open your Bibles to the 50th chapter, the 17th verse, where it declares, Israel is a scattered sheep. The lions have driven him away. First the king of Assyria hath devoured him. And that last this Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, hath broken his bones. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Behold, I will punish the king of Babylon and his land, as I have punished the king of Assyria. And I will bring Israel again to his habitation, and he shall feed on Carmel and Bashan, and his soul shall be satisfied upon Mount Ephraim and Gilead. In those days, and at that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none, and the sins of Judah, they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve. So here the Lord describes Israel as being like sheep terrified by lions. Shalmaneser was the king of Assyria. He was the first lion. He carried the northern kingdom into captivity. And then last of all, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried Judah captive. Therefore, the king of Babylon will be punished just as the king of Assyria was punished. But Israel shall be restored to their own land. And in those days, tape recorded message number TL304. Otis Q. Sellers, Bible teacher. I greet you in the faith and in the fellowship of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are, whom we love, and whom we serve. We continue our studies in the prophecy of Jeremiah. Open your Bibles to the 50th chapter, the 17th verse, where it declares, Israel is a scattered sheep. The lions have driven him away. First the king of Assyria hath devoured him. And that last this Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, hath broken his bones. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Behold, I will punish the king of Babylon and his land, as I have punished the king of Assyria. And I will bring Israel again to his habitation, and he shall feed on Carmel and Bashan, and his soul shall be satisfied upon Mount Ephraim and Gilead. In those days, and at that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none, and the sins of Judah, they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve. So here the Lord describes Israel as being like sheep terrified by lions. Shalmaneser was the king of Assyria. He was the first lion. He carried the northern captivity
the northern kingdom into captivity. And then last of all, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried Judah captive. Therefore, the king of Babylon will be punished just as the king of Assyria was punished. But Israel shall be restored to their own land. And in those days and at that time, the iniquity and the sins of Israel and Judah will be put away altogether, because the Lord will remember and pardon the remnant that is left. Now, this certainly had a partial fulfillment in the return for the captivity. And yet there is a mingling of truth here, for certainly it has never yet been fulfilled that the iniquity of Israel could be sought and that there should be none. But the time will come when that will be fulfilled, and this will be in the kingdom of God. Now, beginning with verse 21, we find that the nations are called against Babylon, the very nations in captivity. Go up against the land of Merathaim. Merathaim means double rebellion. Even against it and against the inhabitants of Pekod. Pekod means visitation. Waste and utterly destroy after them, saith the Lord, and do according to all that I have commanded thee. The sound of battle is in the land, and of great destruction. How is the hammer of the whole earth? That's another name for Babylon. The hammer of the whole earth. How is it that it's cut asunder and broken? How is Babylon become a desolation among the nations? I have laid a snare for thee, and thou art also taken, O Babylon, and thou wast not aware. Thou art found and also caught, because thou hast striven against the Lord. The Lord hath opened his armory, and the Lord has many weapons in his armory, and hath brought forth the weapons of his indignation. For this is the work of the Lord God of hosts in the land of the Chaldeans. Come against her from the utmost border. Open her storehouses. Cast her up as heaps and destroy her utterly. Let nothing of her be left. And thus Babylon was to be utterly destroyed. Nothing was to be left. Slay all her bullocks, the very animals that would produce others. They're to be slain. Let them go down to the slaughter. Woe unto them, for their day is come, the time of their visitation. The voice of them that flee and escape out of the land of Babylon, to declare in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God, the vengeance of his temple. Call together the archers against Babylon. All ye that bend the bow, camp against it round about. Let none therefore escape. Recompense her according to her work. According to all that she hath done, do unto her. For she hath been proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. Therefore shall her young men fall in the streets, and all her men of war shall be cut off in that day, saith the Lord. Behold, I am against thee, O thou most proud, saith the Lord God of hosts. For that day is come, the time that I will visit thee. And the most proud shall stumble and fall. None shall raise him up, and I will kindle a fire in her cities, and shall devour all round about him. So, Babylon is to be utterly destroyed. All of the well-fed rich men were to be slaughtered, and those who escape from Babylon will declare in Zion the vengeance poured out upon her for her destruction of the temple of the Lord. Now, beginning with verse 33 and into 34, we have the record here of Israel's Redeemer. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the children of Israel and the children of Judah were oppressed together. You see, they were all in the same captivity. They were all oppressed together. And all that took them captives held them fast. They refused to let them go. Their Redeemer is strong, The Lord of hosts is his name. He shall thoroughly plead their cause, that ye may rest to the land and disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon. So Israel and Judah, not just Judah alone, but they were both now in the same captivity. Israel and Judah are held fast by oppressors who refuse to let them go. But their Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, is stronger than all their oppressors. He redeemed them from the land of Egypt when Pharaoh refused to let them go, and now he's going to undertake their cause and give them rest, and Babylon will suffer even as Egypt suffered. Now, beginning with verse 35, it says, "We have the word of the Lord. A sword is upon the Chaldeans, saith the Lord, and upon the inhabitants of Babylon, and upon her princes and her wise men. A sword is upon the liars, and they shall dote. A sword is upon her mighty men, and they shall be dismayed. A sword is upon their horses and upon their chariots, and upon all the mingled people in the midst of her, and they shall become as women. A sword is upon her treasures, and they shall be robbed." And so, for five times here, a sword is mentioned. And it's upon the wise men, the liars, and they'd become as fools. The mighty men would become weak, and all of their treasures would simply vanish away. In verse 38, we read, "A drought is upon her waters, and they shall be dried up. For it is the land of graven images, and they are mad upon their idols." Now in verse 39 we get the desolation of Babylon. "Therefore the wild beast of the desert with the wild beast of the islands shall dwell there, and the owls shall dwell therein. It shall be inhabited no more, no more forever. No more in perpetuity shall it be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. For as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, so shall no man abide there, neither shall any son of man dwell therein. Behold, a people shall come from the north, and a great nation, and many kings shall be raised up from the coast of the earth. They shall hold the bow and the lance. They are cruel and will not show mercy. Their voice shall roar like the sea. They shall ride upon horses, every one put in array like a man to the battle, against thee, O daughter of Babylon. The king of Babylon hath heard a report of them, and his hands waxed feeble. Anguish took hold of him as pangs upon a woman with travel." So all of the inhabitants of Babylon are to be placed by a wild beast and owl. And in its overthrow it will be the same as that of Sodom and Gomorrah. "For a people from the north shall come. They're armed, and they'll come against the daughter of Babylon. And at the very report of them, the king of Babylon will become powerless." Now, in verses 44, 45, and 46, we have a repetition. It is a repetition from chapter 49, verses 19 and 21, and in this, Babylon executed upon the nations, the very judgments that she executed would be returned and poured out upon her. And the lion here is no longer Nebuchadnezzar, but the lion here is Cyrus. Now, chapter 51. Babylon is to be destroyed by strangers. "Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up against Babylon, and again them that dwell in the midst of them that rise up against me, a destroying wind. And I will send unto Babylon fanners, they shall fan her and shall empty her land. For in the day of trouble they shall be against her round about. Against him that bendeth, let the archer bend his bow. And against him that lifteth himself up in his brigandine," that would be his coat of armor, And spare ye not her young men, destroy ye utterly all her host. Thus the slain shall fall in the land of the Chaldeans, and they that are thrust through in her streets. So the fanners, or the winnowers, by a play on these words, they also mean strangers, they shall winnow her, and they'll plunder the land as they come from all sides, and they don't even give the archer time to bend his bow. Their conquest is so swift, the soldier doesn't even have time to put on his armor. They do not spare the young men, they just destroy the whole army of Babylon. Then the promise concerning Israel. In verse 5, for Israel hath not been forsaken, nor Judah of his God, of the Lord of hosts, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel. Flee ye out of the midst of Babylon, and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her recompense. And thus the great God of Israel, the Lord of hosts, he has not forsaken Israel, even though his land was filled with sin against him. And since the time of his vengeance is come, his people are called to flee out of her, each one deliver his soul from the coming judgments. Now, in verse 7, the Lord speaks about the faithful remnant, or speaks to the faithful remnant about Babylon. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore the nations are mad. Babylon is suddenly destroyed, fallen and destroyed. Howl for her. Take balm for her pain, if so be that she may be healed. Now, as we read this, we just can't keep from thinking about Revelation 18. But that has to do with another time and another people. But it seems that the time will come when we can compare this fall of Babylon with the fall of another Babylon. And there is, we will learn a lesson from this as we are able later to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. Now, this faithful remnant, see, Israel had been told to see whether you could find, can you find any remedy for fallen Babylon? And the remnant speaks in verse 9 and says, we would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. So forsake her, and let us go every one into his own country, for her judgment reacheth unto heaven, and is lifted up even to the skies. The Lord hath brought forth our righteousness. Come and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. Now, this remnant of faithful Israelites say that if it had been possible, we would have helped in the restoration of Babylon, but there was no remedy. The Lord had told them to settle down there and to be at peace. And so we just have to leave her in the hand of the Lord, and we will return to Zion, and in Zion we will declare his works. Now the Lord speaks to Babylon, make bright the arrows, sharpen them, gather the shields. The Lord hath raised up the spirit of the king of the Medes, for his device is against Babylon to destroy it. Because it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of his temple. Set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong. Set up watchmen. Prepare the ambushes. For the Lord hath both devised and done that which he spake against the inhabitants of Babylon. O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures, thine end is come, and the measure of thy covetousness. The Lord of hosts has sworn by himself, saying, surely I will fill thee with men as with caterpillars, and they shall raise up a great shout against thee. So the Lord has declared that because of their covetousness, that the city will suddenly be filled with soldiers, just as when a great swarm of caterpillars would settle upon the field. And when they're inside of the walls, and when they lift up their shout, that will be their first notice that they're there when they're inside. Now the Lord compares himself with idols. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom. Notice how the earth and the world are connected there. See, the earth is the planet, and the world is the system upon the planet. If it were not for the world, we could not live. You see, we live on the earth, and we live in the world, the system, the order that God has established, the air that we breathe, the sun that shines upon us, the rain that falls, and all the arrangement and order that God has made that makes it possible for men to live upon this planet called the earth. If it were not for this system, this order that God himself has established, then we could not live upon the earth. We would simply be like Mars, or we would be like the moon. Now he stretched out the heaven by his understanding. When he utters his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and he bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. That's the Lord. But every man is brutish by his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by his graven image. For his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They don't live, they have no spirit, and they can give no life, they can give no spirit. They are vanity, the work of errors. In the time of their visitation they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. And if that passage sounds familiar, we went over this in chapter 10 of Jeremiah, beginning at about verse 12 and continuing there for 5 or 6 verses. And this was actually the witness that Israel was to bear to the nations. They were to simply to declare that God was the creator and the sustainer of all things, and every image, whether an actual image made of stone or wood or gold, or just come concept of the human mind, that these were all empty and that they would vanish. And so this is now demonstrated by the helplessness and the destruction of these idols of Babylon in whom they trusted. Now the Lord speaks, "Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war, for with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms, and with thee will I break in pieces the horse and the rider, and with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider. With thee also will I break in pieces man and woman, and with thee will I break in pieces old and young, and with thee will I break in pieces the young man and the maid. I will also break in pieces with thee the shepherd and his flock, and with thee will I break in pieces the husbandman and the yoke of oxen, and with thee will I break in pieces captains and rulers, and I will render unto Babylon and to all the inhabitants of Chaldea all their evil that they have done in Zion in your sight, saith the Lord." Now, these words are spoken to Cyrus. He is the Lord's hammer. He is the instrument through which the Lord will break Babylon to pieces. Now, beginning with verse 25, we read of the capture of Babylon. "Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, saith the Lord, which destroyeth all the earth. And I will stretch out my hand upon thee, and roll thee down from the rocks, and I will make thee a burnt mountain, And they shall not take of thee a stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundations, but thou shalt be desolate for ever, saith the Lord. Set ye up a standard in the land. Blow the trumpet among the nations. Prepare the nations against her. Call together against her the kingdoms of Eret, Meni, and Ashkenaz. Appoint a captain against her. Causes the horses to come up as the rough caterpillars. Prepare against the nation with the kings of the Medes, the captains thereof and all the rulers thereof, and all the land of his dominion. And the land shall tremble and sorrow. For every purpose the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without an inhabitant. The mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They have remained in their holes. Their might hath failed. They become as women. They have burned her dwelling places. Her bars are broken. One post shall run to meet another. One messenger to meet another. To show the king of Babylon that his city is taken at one end. And that the passages are stopped. And the reeds they have burned with fire. And the men of war are frightened. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, O God of Israel. The daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor. It is time to thrash her. Yet a little while, and the time of her harvest shall come. Now, Babylon is just to become a burnt mountain. That was what we had. And a burnt mountain is just an extinct volcano. And there'd be nothing left out of which they could reconstruct her. And it was just like a threshing floor. The time of her threshing had come. Now in verse 34, the daughter of Zion speaks. And these are the common people, those that inhabit Zion. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, hath devoured me. He hath crushed me, hath made me an empty vessel. He hath swallowed me up like a dragon. He hath filled his belly with my delicates. He hath cast me out. The violence done to me and to my flesh be upon Babylon, shall the inhabitants of Zion say, and my blood upon the inhabitants of Chaldea, shall Jerusalem say. So, the daughters of Zion, they relate how Nebuchadnezzar had so vilely treated her. And now she says, may the violence done to me be upon Babylon, and may my blood be upon the head of the Chaldeans. Now this is the Lord's reply. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will plead thy cause, and take vengeance for thee, and I will dry up her sea, and make her springs dry, and Babylon shall become heaps, a dwelling place for dragons, an astonishment and an hissing, without an inhabitant. They shall roar together like lions, they shall yell as lion whelps. In their heat I will make their feast, and I will make them drunken that they may rejoice, and sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake, saith the Lord. I will bring them down like lambs to the slaughter, like lambs with he-goats. How is Sheshach taken? And how is the praise of the whole earth surprised? How is Babylon an astonishing among the nations? The sea is come upon Babylon. She is covered with the multitude of the waves thereof. Her cities are a desolation, a dry land and a wilderness, a land wherein no man dwelleth, neither doth any son of man pass thereby. And I will punish Bel in Babylon, and I will bring forth out of his mouth that which hath swallowed up, and the nations shall not flow together any more unto him. Yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall. So, all of the Sea of Nations over which Babylon ruled, they are now to rise up and overwhelm her with a great flood. The Chaldean cities will disappear. Their god Bel will have to restore the vessels of the temple which were used to honor him. And Babylon will no longer be the commercial center of the world. And her very wall, which everyone thought was a Maginot line, impregnable, that wall will fall. Now the Lord speaks to Israel, beginning with verse 45. My people, go ye out of the midst of her, and deliver ye every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord. And lest your heart faint, and ye fear from the rumor that shall be heard in the land, a rumor shall both come 1 year, and after that another year shall come a ruler, of violence in the land, ruler against ruler. Therefore, behold, the days come that I will do judgment upon the graven images of Babylon, and her whole land shall be confounded, and all the slain shall fall in the midst of her. Then the heaven and the earth, and all that is therein, shall sing for Babylon. For the spoilers shall come unto her from the north, saith the Lord. As Babylon hath caused the slain of Israel to fall, so at Babylon shall fall the slain of all the earth. Ye that have escaped the sword, go away, stand not still. Remember the Lord afar off, and let Jerusalem come into your mind. And thus this command, that the Lord's people should flee from Babylon, is repeated, that they're not to be afraid of all of the reports that come, the wild rumors of wars that are all round about. The nations of the north are going to plunder her. And the Lord says that you, the remnant, you who have been preserved through all of this, you leave now. And in your distant exile, remember the Lord, and you just let thoughts of Jerusalem occupy your mind, that you may return thither. Now the remnant speaks in verse 51. We are confounded because we have heard reports. Shame hath covered our faces, for strangers are come into the sanctuaries of the Lord's house. We think indeed, they say, we think of Jerusalem, but the very thoughts fill us with shame, because we know how the holy place of the house of the Lord is defiled. Now the Lord replies, wherefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will do judgment upon her graven images, and though all her land, and through all her land, the wounded shall groan, though Babylon shall mount up to heaven, and though she should fortify the height of her strength, yet from me shall spoilers come to her, saith the Lord. A sound of cry cometh from Babylon. Great destruction the land of the Chaldeans, because the Lord has spoiled Babylon, and destroyed out of her the great voice, when her waves do roar like great waters. The noise of their voice is uttered, because the spoiler is come upon her, even upon Babylon, and her mighty men are taken. Every one of their bows is broken, for the Lord God of recompenses shall surely requite, and I will make drunk her princes and her wise men, her captains and her rulers and her mighty men, and they shall sleep a perpetual sleep and shall not wake, saith the King whose name is the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly broken, and her high gates shall be burned with fire, and the people shall labor in vain, and the folk in the fire, and they shall be weary. So the Lord declares the time of Babylon's punishment is near. And while at that moment that these words were spoken, she had such great strength that it seemed that she could never be touched or conquered. But the Lord has already made preparations of those who would destroy her. And the cry of great destruction is heard. The noise of all her busy cities is ceased. And she's spoiled because her enemies are swept over her like the sea. And he declares that Babylon's rulers will never awake from the last drunken sleep of their night of revel when the city is taken, because her walls will be of no protection, and her gates will be burned, and all the work that the workmen spent upon them will just seem to have been to provide fuel for the fire. They will have wearied themselves with vanity. Now, beginning with verse 59, the words which Jeremiah the prophet commanded Seraiah the son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, when he went with Zedekiah, the king of Judah, into Babylon in the fourth year of his reign. And this Seraiah was a quiet prince. So Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that should come upon Babylon, even all these words that are written against Babylon. And Jeremiah said to Seraiah, when thou comest to Babylon, and shalt see and read all these words, then shalt thou say, O Lord, thou hast spoken against this place, to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but that it shall be desolate forever. And it shall be, when thou hast made an end of reading this book, that thou shalt bind a stone upon it, and cast it into the midst of Euphrates, and thou shalt say, thus shall Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her, and they shall be weary. So, in the fourth year of Zedekiah, this was before his rebellion against Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Judah went on a visit to the court of Babylon. He was accompanied by Seraiah, who was a brother of Barak, and this one had charge of the camps, rest camps at night and journey. And Jeremiah wrote in a book the prophecy about Babylon, and he gave it to Seraiah with the command that he wouldn't read it till he got to Babylon and saw all of its glory and might, and then he would read the prophecy. Then take the prophecy, tie a stone on it, and sink it. And he was to close his declaration with the closing words of this prophecy of judgment. In the final word we get in the 64th verse, it says, thus far are the words of Jeremiah. Now, it doesn't mean that Jeremiah stopped his prophecies here, but his prophecies had now been arranged that they're placed at the end of this collection. Now, chapter 52, the final chapter that falls, is historical, and it describes the fall of Jerusalem. This would carry us back. Chapter 52, the final chapter. Zedekiah was 21 and 20 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah that he had cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. Now, he did evil in the sight of the Lord and was in rebellion against Jeremiah. Then we have the seeds. This is all historical. It came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, the tenth month, the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his army against Jerusalem. They pitched against it and built forts against it round about. So the city was besieged on the 11th year of King Zedekiah. And in the fourth month, in the ninth day of the month, the famine was sore in the city, so that there was no bread for the people of the land. That was the terrible calamity that fell upon them. Bread just means food. There was simply nothing to eat. In verse 7, then the city was broken up. All the men of war fled, went forth out of the city by night by the way of the gate between the two walls, which was by the king's gardens. Now the Chaldeans were by the city round about. They had it surrounded, and they went by the way of the plain. Now we find what happened to Zedekiah. The army of the Chaldeans pursued after the king and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho, and all his army was scattered from him. Then they took the king and carried him up unto the king of Babylon to Riblah in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. And the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. He slew all the princes of Judah in Riblah. Then he put out the eyes of Zedekiah, And the king of Babylon bound him in chains and carried him to Babylon and put him in prison till the day of his death, a terrible fate to happen to any man who had served as a king of Israel. Now in the fifth month and the tenth day of the month, which is the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, which served the king of Babylon in Jerusalem, and he burned the house of the Lord, he burned the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem, and all the houses of the great men burned he with fire, and all the army of the Chaldeans that were with the captain of the guard, break down all the walls of Jerusalem round about. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive certain of the poor of the people, and the residue of the people that remained in the city, and those that fell away, surrendered, that fell to the king of Babylon, the rest of the multitude. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left certain of the poor of the land for vine dressers and for husbandmen. So Nebuzaradan, who had been sent to destroy the city, he came to Jerusalem, he entered into it, and he did his work. Then we read about the vessels of the temple, what happened to them. Verse 17. Also the pillars of brass that were in the house of the Lord, and the basins, and the brazen sea that was in the house of the Lord, the Chaldeans brake, and carried all of the brass of them to Babylon, the cauldrons also, and the shovels, and the snuffers, and the bowls, and the spoons, and all the vessels of brass wherewith they ministered took them they away. And the basins, and the firepans, and the bowls, and the cauldrons, and the candlesticks, and the spoons, and the cups, which was of gold in gold, and that which was of silver in silver, took the captain of the guard away. The two pillars, one sea, the 12 brazen bowls that were under the bases, which King Solomon had made in the house of the Lord, the brass of all of these vessels was without weight. And concerning the pillars, the height of one pillar was 18 cubits, and a fillet of 12 cubits did compass it, and the thickness thereof was 4 fingers, it was hollow, and a chapiter of brass was upon it, and the height of one chapiter was 5 cubits, with network and pomegranates upon the chapiters round about all of brass. The second pillar also and the pomegranates were like unto these, and there were 96 pomegranates on a side, and the pomegranates upon the network were round about. So the temple is completely ruined. It's despoiled. And everything worthwhile in it was carried away to Babylon. And there they disappear. And the next time we see them in Belshazzar's feasts. And they are later restored by Cyrus, as we know from the book of Ezra. When the Jews return to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. Now, in verse 24, we read that the captain of the guard took Seraiah the chief priest and Zephaniah the second priest, 3 keepers of the door. He took also out of the city a eunuch with half charge of the men of war, and 7 men of them that were near the king's person, which were found in the city, the principal scribe of the host who mustered the people of the land, the 70 men of the people of the land that were found in the midst of the city. So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, took them and brought them to the king of Babylon, to Riblah. And the king of Babylon smote them and put them to death in Riblah, the land of Hamath. Now these were the principal men upon whom the government depended, government officials. They were dragged out of hiding, for they were found in the midst of the city, and they were brought before Nebuchadnezzar and slain. And then we're told that Judah was carried away captive out of his own land, and that completes the history. And so in the 28th, 29th, and the 30th verse, we have a list of the number of captives, but this was only one deportation. There were other deportations. And then in verses 31 to 34, we have the restoration of Jehoiakim, who did evil in the sight of the Lord, but who did submit to Nebuchadnezzar according to the word of Jeremiah. Now, as my time is running out, and this brings us close to our studies in Jeremiah, may I just mention here that in all of my teachings, I teach many things that my father did not even know about. I teach many things that I was never taught in school, and which I have never found in any book that I have read. And therefore, as I expound these books, as I make what study I can of them previous to giving these messages, because I've been over them all before, I keep saying to myself, now, is there anything here that contradicts what I am teaching? Is there anything at all here that tells me that I've hit a derail in my thinking? If so, I will set it right. I have learned much from Jeremiah, but I have found nothing here that causes me to change my position in regard to any truth that I have taught to you. This completes our study in Jeremiah. There have been 22 lessons. It has been my pleasure to teach you, and I thank you for listening.